Turn in your Bibles with me this morning, not to Galatians. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, one of the most well-known parables of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10 will be in verse 25. Remember the word that we received at the new year. If you have not been here, if you're new to Calvary, you need to make sure you go back and listen to the two New Year's messages on where God is leading us this year. And because the word was a whirlwind is coming, the harvest is ripe, and it told us to prepare. And we have been, the office staff and all the whirlwind teams, we have been working feverishly since January. And I mean tirelessly, for all the things that God wants us to do. So today, loved one, listen now. The adventure with our Lord who is always with us, it begins today. Are you ready? Are you ready to ride upon the wings of the wind? Amen. Are you ready to mount up like wings or as eagles? Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to be running right now, and we never need to wear out. We never need to be weary because the day has now arrived. And also something else. Now faith is, it says in Hebrews 11:1, not tomorrow, not yesterday. Faith is right this minute, and it's going to require great faith to enter into the adventure that God is taking us on. And the reason it's going to take great faith is because it's larger than Calvary Chapel. Isn't it great to be stepping out on something that where we're not comfortable? Come on. Love me like the first service does, would you? Yeah, you know that you're my favorite. They don't know that. No, listen. We're stepping out. We're going into the deep. We're going deeper than we've ever gone in the history of this church. We are getting ready, loved one, right this minute, as we hurry, as we prepare, because there's not a minute to spare. We only have 63 days until the December 5th, 6th, and 7th Christmas or candy cane outreach. Are you ready? Okay, now listen. This is going to be the largest outreach in the history of this church. Probably we could have up to plus, even over 3,000 people that are going to be here. This might be on this side of 820, meaning the south side of this city. This may be the largest outreach in the history of this city. You see, we're God's whirlwind. We are blowing into Christmas with a passion and with a love and with a single focus like never, ever before, loved one. Matter of fact, I know it's going to sound silly, but for some reason, you know, last night as I was trying to finish this up and pray and so forth, I remember when I was in elementary school and I had to recite, you know, yeah, I remember how you did poems? Anyone ever heard of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? Oh, good. Did you remember that? Listen, my children, and you may hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. There I was in the third grade, and the little boy next to me stood up and said, "To arms, to arms!" What comes after that? What did Paul Revere say? "This is America. Hello, are you Americans? To arms, to arms. The British are coming. The British are coming." Do you remember that? To arms. The British aren't coming. Satan is. You better open up your heart. You better lift up the shield of faith right now, because we are invading the evil one's territory. We're getting ready to take away his captives. Amen? Listen to me. You better be prepared, because the attack has already been launched. I don't even want to go there because I give him no glory. We have overcome the wicked one. But he doesn't want you to feel that you've overcome the wicked one. If you think that we can stand up and prepare our campus for what's coming in 62 days and there not be an attack, listen, do you know that Saturday, I couldn't even print my sermon? Because I mean, when I would come in, I printed on Sundays and because it messed up. I have a printer at home. How many times do you think this morning that I struggled trying to print out this message? Do you know how many times my wife had to go back there and struggle to fix this? 4 times. We wasted 1,000 pieces of paper. You see, this word, only God wants this word out. Are you following me? Listen, we are getting ready to remove the one who steals, kills, and destroys. We have come with our Savior that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Listen to me now. All that we are about to do, and we're doing a lot, and all that we're about to do is for only one purpose. Two. Number one, that Jesus Christ be glorified. And number two, that we may win those who do not know Jesus Christ. Amen? To win, we're fishers of men. Now, are you in Luke chapter 10, verse 25? Let's look at this very well-known parable that I know you know by heart, so bear with me. Jesus said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, we know that a lawyer at that time wasn't like the lawyers today. You know what I'm saying. They were experts in the law of Moses. But he did something. He stood up publicly in the midst of all the people that were there, and he tried to humiliate our Lord. He tried to do something. He tested him and so forth. He tried to make Jesus look foolish. What a terrible thing to do. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You can do nothing but believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said to him, well, now he's talking to this attorney, this lawyer, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? How do you take it? And so he answered and he said, now watch this, man. Immediately he gave the answer. He said, oh, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and all of your mind, and your what? How should you love your neighbor? You love your neighbor as yourself. He just quoted something that he quotes twice a day. He is a Jew. He quoted what we call, or they call, the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He immediately gave the answer. He said, oh, it's the great commandment to love the Lord thy God. Boy, fill your heart with God and no one else. Now listen, Jesus had been tested before with the very same question in Matthew's gospel. Let me read it to you, chapter 22, 35. And then one of them, which was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were out there messing around. It said, and one of them, a lawyer. So we have another scribe here, expert in the law of Moses. He asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Out of everything that is written, Lord, tell me, I want to know what, out of everything in the Bible, which one is the, what for, which is the greatest, the most important of anything? We know that Jesus immediately replied to the man. He gave the great commandment. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, for this is the first and great commandment. First meaning in priority. And the second is just like it. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to what the Lord said. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you hear what Jesus just said? The great commandment. Everything in the entire Word of God hinges upon that. For that to be removed, everything would be lost. The great commandment, loved one, belongs to the church. Amen? But listen to me now. 62 days away, we are not going to be and we will never be in Jesus' name like the expert in the law. It's a terrible thing. Listen, you know, it's so easy for Christians in our nation, it's so easy for Christians in this city to give the right answer. You know what I mean? Without any personal commitment. That's exactly what that expert in the law did. His mind, oh, he had God's word flooded into his mind, but it never got down to his heart. Never at all. No. And Jesus went and continued, and he said, you know what? And the second is just like his own equal footing with it. Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is that an incredible command? Your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Is it the person just sitting next to you? Is it only the believer that's inside of our four walls? Is it your next door neighbor? Is the person down the street? Listen, when Jesus said to love your neighbor, loved one, he meant any member of the human family. You're to demonstrate love and love that person as if it were you. That's a big, big, tall order. Man, Jesus said, love me just like you love yourself like you would love somebody else. Now, here's the question. Are you sincerely and passionately and truthfully ready to love maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 nameless neighbors? They're coming, and they're certainly not all saved, and they certainly don't all particularly care for the church. Are you with me? But see, that doesn't matter. When Jesus fed the 5,000, I mean, do you think that they all loved the Lord? Do you think some of them might be in sin? Maybe fornicators or whatever the rest? No, they came for the food, didn't they? Okay, now listen. Here we are. This work that God is doing, this whirlwind that God has formed. Jesus said in verse 28, look what Jesus said to the scribe. He says, you know what? You've answered rightly. Now watch what Jesus says. Do this, and you will what? Live. That doesn't mean you'll be saved. It doesn't mean that you can earn salvation. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you know what? If you really love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, if you really do that, mean that, then be obedient. Be obedient to God's word. See, when you love God, you'll be obedient to God. That doesn't mean we don't fail sometimes. What did Jesus tell us in John 14, 15? Jesus said, if you love me, if you're in love with me, keep my commandments. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do? Loved one, listen, the great commandment, did you know that's part of the vision statement for the foundation of this church, isn't it? Whew, Lord. Oh my gosh, help me, Lord. Now look what happened. But he, meaning the lawyer, the scribe, wanting to what? There it comes, justify himself. That means he wasn't sincere when he gave that scripture to Jesus. Said to the Lord, and who is my neighbor? Let me ask you a question. Are we like that attorney? He's not an attorney, but you know that lawyer? In other words, this guy was an expert in the law of Moses. He knew the word of God backwards and forwards. Did he need any more information? Did he need a prophet to come up to him and prophesy, you are to love the Lord, your neighbor, whatever? Did he need that? No, and neither do you. Neither do me. No, loved one. Listen, you know what he really wanted to know? Okay, how far do I really carry this out with this neighbor thing? That's what the church says today, and that's wrong. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Boy, that's a tremendous command. And Jesus answered and said to the man, look at the parable now. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and look what the thieves did to him, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now, we know this parable so well. We know that from Jericho or Jerusalem or down to Jericho, whatever, is about 17 miles. They used to call it the path of blood because there were so many robbers. They'd lay wait because, see, the priest and the Levites would come down through that area and other people would travel on it all the time. And so we don't know who this certain man's, who he is. Is he a Jew? We don't know anything. It's just a certain man. But this certain man had a wonderful thing happen, or could have happened. A certain priest, as we're going to see, is going to pass him by. Watch this now. And now by chance, Jesus said, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, the one that was stripped of his clothing, the one that was wounded, the one that was half dead, when he saw him, he had great compassion upon him. No. Where did he go, loved one? He passed to the other side. And now look at this one. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, they came and he looked, and then he passed on the other side. Now listen, you have a priest. They descended from, remember, the Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood. So you have the priest and then the assistants. You have from the tribe of Levi, the Levites. They all worked in the temple together. And here they come, these two men representing God. Two believers, supposed believers. Two Christians. Let's bring it up to date. Say two Christians. And you know, they represent God. They know God's word. These Jews here, what did they do? Remember, I said they quoted every day, twice a day, the Shema from Deuteronomy 6. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. They quoted that. They knew that word. And what did they do? They passed by. Can you imagine working in the temple with the altar, the sacrifices, the showbread, all the things that they did to work for Almighty God, to represent God and to love the people? And yet, look what they did. They just passed by. You know, the other side of the road, that's the place, loved one, where the hurt and those that are needy, they're just looked upon and they're passed by. This church is on the right side of the road. You know, I think about all those years ago, 27, 28 years, you know how God moved us from Fort Worth to here. And I know I've told you this many times, but I cannot tell you the pastors that when they heard that we were going to move on this side of the railroad tracks, they said no pastor in their right mind plants any work on the south side of 820. You go over to the other side where there are the new homes and all of that. And I said, but I told him, I said, the guy's name was Pastor Bob, actually. I said, Pastor Bob, that's not where God called me. He said that we're to be right here. And he said, nobody's going to come there. I said, well, that's God's fault, not mine. And here we are, all these years later, on the right side of the track, meaning the right side of the road that we're supposed to be on, and now here we are for a time such as this, the largest outreach in the history of this church. God has never failed us. He has never let us down. He has always provided for us. Amen? He's paid the way for everything. I am overwhelmed at the goodness of God. It blows me away. And here we are. And we look at these two believers who knew, they knew to do something. They knew what God's word said, but they didn't do anything. Why is that? Why is that? Did they only have religion and not relationship? I mean, think about it. Did they say, well, there's a problem. He's all bloody. I don't know. And look at him. And, you know, he's half naked. And he's unconscious anyway. He won't even know I was here. I don't want to get involved. I don't know your story. I don't know anything about you. I'm just too busy for this. I want to get home to my own family, you know. Isn't that horrible? You know, I mean, religion is always occupied with me. It's about me. It's about what I want. What the church. I want this in the church. I want this, da, 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 da. It's always about self. It's never about others. That's what religion is. When you're born from above and you have a relationship with Jesus, you want what he wants. You want to walk in the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. You live in the grace of God. And when you see others, you see them and you want to love them and help them and make sure they're saved. Listen, I can't believe two believers saying to a wounded, hurting, dying person, you are nothing more to me than an inconvenience. That's exactly what they did. Listen, to the thieves, they rejoiced. Hey, I don't know what they got off with, but he was just a victim. To the priest, to the Levite, oh man, listen, he was an inconvenience. But now to a man who was a Samaritan, look how he was a neighbor, beginning in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, it says, as he journeyed, And he came where he was, the man that was wounded. And when he saw him, he had what? He had what those other two believers should have had, but did not. Man, he had compassion. I don't need to tell you about Samaritans. Man, you know that they were hated by the Jews. They were half Jew and half Gentile. They were cursed. A Jew said it was better to die than to let a Samaritan help you, in other words. They believed that they had no part in the resurrection or any of those things. But this Samaritan, look what he did. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine. He was like a doctor to him. And then what else did he do? Oh, he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. That's 2 days' wages. That meant that that would equal to 24 days at the inn, okay, for that man. He took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, now you take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Man, is that what you call loving your neighbor as yourself? Yes, you know what he did? See, to love your neighbor as yourself is this, is to crawl into his hurt, to crawl into his skin, to crawl into his wound and say, that's me. And I'm getting ready to take care of what's wrong. That's what it means to love your neighbor. Did the Samaritan, did he expect anything in return? No, not one thing at all. Now listen to me. What if, and we don't know, but what if that man that was wounded, what if he was a Jew? Because see, the priest and the Levites, remember, they traveled that road all the time from Jerusalem to Jericho. What if he was a Jew? That meant someone who hated the Samaritans with all their heart was saving their life. Are you with me? You see what I mean about being a neighbor? Now, Jesus asked the expert in the law. He says, so which of these three do you think was neighbor, or literally proved himself to be neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the expert in the law who knew God's word, look what he said. Well, he who showed what? Mercy on him. Now look what Jesus says to the expert in the law, the one who knew God's law, who represented God, who said he was a believer in God. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Williams translation says, go and practice this yourself. Listen, so many of our neighbors out here right now, single moms with children, grandparents raising their children's children, loved one, you know what? They have fallen on the side of the road, and the thief has beat them bloody. And the thief there would be called the devil. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, amen? And you know what? Let us show mercy to those that are hurting. Is that okay to do? Is that like a suggestion from Jesus? No, it's a command from our Lord. Loved one, listen, I just finished a book the other day and I was reading it here about poverty. It said this, shame and fear and unhappiness, depression, inferiority, powerlessness, dissatisfaction. The author said, this is what a person in poverty feels every day. Now see, some of you may be thinking, well, Bill, what really good is it going to do to help single moms anyway? I mean, you know as well as I do, it's just going to be a 1 day, 2 day, 3 day thing, but it's just a temporary, it's a band-aid. They're going to leave here living in poverty. Yes, that's true. But the gift that we have is the bait for them to come because it's free. What they don't realize that we're fishers of men. Amen? And if they bite the bait, they're going to receive the greatest gift they can ever receive, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's right. Listen, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus says, go and do likewise. He says, quit looking at this as a duty and do it for love. Quit debating about which is the greatest commandment. And he says, go ahead and start doing it. Go and do likewise, as I told the early service. Loved one has built orphanages and hospitals all over the world. We've helped doctors that have come out of this that were there in Soto Hospital in Ethiopia. The only surgeon that was there, he was with us for years, and we helped him as a missionary. performing all those surgeries. I mean, Samaritan's purse. Why? Go do in likewise. They followed what the Lord said. Go and do likewise has sent missionaries all over the world. It sent pastors out to plant churches to where no one else would plant them. You know, the question, loved one, is this. Are we willing to work? We have 62 days. We have to work every day. Are we willing to sacrifice and to unite as one heart and one man? What are we going to do with those words from the Lord? Go and do likewise. Now listen to me. You know I love you. May I challenge you just for a moment? What good is it to know the great commandment? What good is it to say, I can quote the great commandment? Will that help your neighbor? Will it help your neighbor? No. What good is it to know the Great Commission, to be able to quote the Great Commission, to go into all the world, but just to know it and to say it, will that help anyone? Will that save anyone? No, absolutely not. Love, it won't save our neighbor at all. What good is it for us, you know, to know John, the new commandment, John 13, 34, and 35. What good is it? Where Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, here's the new part, just as I've loved you. And by this, you loving one another like I loved you, by this the whole world, all will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples. Did you know that those are the three foundational statements that has built this church? The great commandment, the great commission, the new commandment, which leads to only one thing. Love never fails. That is our whole vision statement, loved one. Listen, I look at that and say, oh God, you're so good. What good is it for Christians to be called ambassadors for Christ or ministers of reconciliation or fishers of men and yet do nothing? Unless we go, unless we do. Listen to me carefully now. Any church, especially in this country today, any church without obedience to the scriptures that I just quoted, the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, the New Commandment, any church without obedience to those scriptures is a lukewarm church who have left their first love, who rest and rely upon God's grace. They're grace abusers. They're out of the will of God. And not only that, they have a name that they are alive, but they're not alive. They are dead. That will never be this church in Jesus' name. Amen. No, loved one, listen. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, the golden rule, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Listen, we're not to treat others the way they treat us. Amen. We treat others the way we would like to be treated ourselves. That doesn't, now listen, it doesn't mean when the outreach happens that everybody that's coming is going to love you and treat you right. But we're going to treat them right, amen? Yes, we have 63 days until candy cane Christmas for single moms with children. We've already checked out how it's going to happen. No one will be able to come here, loved one, in case you're worried about that. Bill, everybody's going to come. No, they have to have special identification, special things for it to occur before they can ever come here. Now, but here's the deal. The outreach is greater than Calvary, but it's not greater than our God. Amen? That's what we need to know. God has given us an incredible opportunity. We're the whirlwind of God, loved one. We're ready, getting ready to show the love and the compassion and the mercy to the single moms who need, truly need, a good Samaritan. The other side of the road, you will not find Calvary Chapel there. We will not be there because it means that they pass by those who are suffering, and we don't do that. No. Would you listen to some of these scriptures, please, on poverty? Listen carefully. Psalm 41:1, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. What a great word. How about Proverbs 14:21? But he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. that is, does that blow you away? But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Listen to me now. Every one of all of us, from the kids' church to the oldest people in this congregation, we must all work. We must all labor. We have an adventure with Jesus, and I'm not going to miss it. Are you? No. Listen, when Jesus, remember in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, man, was preaching to the multitudes, and man, they were all over him. And it says in Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went out to all the cities, all the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing, listen carefully now, and healing every sickness. All the cities, all the villages, all the people. Every sickness was healed. Every disease among the people healed. I'm going to tell you what, to me, I read that and I'm thinking there must have been incredible revival. Amen? But more than that, Jesus and all the disciples must be rejoicing, but that wasn't the case. Listen to what Jesus said. It says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, all that he had healed, he was moved with compassion for them. And here's the reason. He says, because they were weary. That word weary means they were battered. They were worn down by life. They were literally exhausted. That word could even be used about a person who has been skinned alive. They were weary. Jesus said, my heart is breaking because they are scattered. They're just wandering through this world. They're wandering through this life. He says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Do you see people like that? Can I tell you that Jesus wants this church and every believer and every church to see other people the way he sees other people? Jesus, they were all healed. Is that true? But Jesus had compassion. Why? He saw something that the disciples didn't see. He saw their true spiritual condition. They were weary. They were battered. They had the reason for all of their misery, they didn't have a shepherd. They were wandering. They were lost. They had no one to guide them, no one to protect them. Question, in Jesus' time, were there plenty of synagogues? Were there plenty of priests? Do we have churches on every corner? Why isn't Tarrant County saved? What are we doing? Why aren't all the churches, what are they doing? What are we doing? Why are we here? To enjoy the enclosure, insulation, isolation? From the world, we're here to change the world. We've overcome the world, now let's change the world. We're not going to let the culture change us. We're going to change the culture. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? No, I look and I say, oh, Lord, all these churches, every corner, what's wrong? What's going on? Jesus then said, you know, to his disciples, he says, the harvest. Now, that means people, the harvest is truly plentiful, he said. I mean overflowing. Oh, there's so many people out there. Jesus said, he said, listen carefully, but the laborers are few. So many Christians today, so many churches know the word, but do so little with God's word. Jesus said, therefore, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When I read that scripture last night, I'm telling you, I got on fire. If I had a tambourine in my office, my study at home, which is the laundry room, you know, I get to hear the washer, the dryer. Oh, I would have hit that tambourine. I'd run through the house. Why? Because I got it. See, let me read it to you again. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now listen to what Jesus has done. We don't have to go out into his harvest. He's bringing his harvest to us right here on our doorstep. Do you see that? We're not going to knock doors. We don't have to go put little tags on that. You know, no, no, listen, we don't have to send that. No. We just have to be here. Why? They're coming. Do you understand? Jesus is bringing them to us. That's it. I didn't turn you on. If I'd have told you right now that the Cowboy game actually started at noon today, that would mess you up, wouldn't it? Yeah. No. Loved one, listen. I was going, oh, Lord, this is incredible what you're doing. And you're going, Bill, they're coming for a free gift. Okay, so what? Listen, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the gift cards that you're going to be giving. It's about the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the true gift. That's eternal life. Loved one, listen, candy cane Christmas is not. It's not about material poverty. It's about spiritual poverty. Those that are coming. This is about eternal death or eternal life. This is about winning people to Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And you have to be passionate and want to do that. We have 62 days. There's no time to spare. And you're going, okay, Bill, you've said that three times. What in the world does that mean? It means this. It means it's going to cost you. Yes. It means that you're going to have to sacrifice. It means that every person who truly belongs to Calvary Chapel here right now, you call it home, you're going to have to work, you're going to have to give, you're going to have to deny yourself, you're going to have to take up the cross, and you're going to have to follow Jesus. That's what it means. It means that your heart should be, the whirlwind of God should be stirring your heart to where it's a single, passionate focus and nothing else. And here's what you need to do beginning now and every day. We have no time to spare. You have to work every day, every day. For example, you already know we need Bibles and back there for the outreach, okay? There's a little box in there, $2 for a Bible. That's not going to break anybody, all right? And so forth. But here's what you can do. You can go to the Calvary Chapel website, okay? And you can you'll see Candy Cane Lane Christmas. And here's what you need to do. You need to give. Not your tithe. You can give it if you want, but not for the candy cane Christmas. Are you with me? Don't you hate it when I talk about money? I never talk about money. I can already see squeak, 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 you know, you're take the wallet to the car, honey. No. No, we're not talking about our needs. We don't need anything. This is for them. This is for what we're doing, this Christmas outreach. Listen, how much is a gift card at Walmart? Remember, we're doing $25 gift cards. Why? Why did we go to gift cards and not the other way we were going to do it? We were going to store food. We were going to do clothes and toys. And all. Listen, we can't do that's work. But a gift card? Listen, you ever been to that super center over there? The gift card, $25, okay, and can you buy gas with it at Walmart? Can you use it at the pharmacy? Can you buy clothing? Can you buy toys? Can you buy food? Yes. Hey, I'm traveling a lot. Here, there you go. I don't have to store 5,000 pounds of beans and rice here. Do you understand? A gift card, that's all that it takes, loved one. You know, and it's tax deductible if you go and say, okay, I'm putting $25 in there. You see the containers? That's where you need to fill them up. You see that 50 bucks? I put 50 bucks right there for two cards. You see this? I brought it intentionally. And I broke my lucky 100. I keep a lucky 100. Y'all heard the story. Jeremy, how much is that? Thank you. Verify it again. It's paper. It's nothing. It's food. It's gasoline. It's clothes. It's hope. It's outreach time. And I look and I see all that God is doing. I'm saying, oh God, put your checks in there. This is not for the church. Put cash in there. Never have I asked you for a thing except for the children in Mexico or when we were in Africa with the children. And I'm not asking for here. I'm asking for them. I'm asking to love our neighbors as ourselves. I'm talking about women that maybe they have two or three kids and maybe one or two out of wedlock, and maybe then the other one, they've married and the guy run off from her and she's working two jobs and maybe she doesn't have a good education and she's trying to make it. Wounded, bloody, half dead. We can make a difference. The largest outreach in the history of this church. You can change lives. You can make a difference, loved one. Listen, this is going to cost us $300,000. Are you ready? Oh, you didn't like that, did you? And God has paid everything that our campus has paid for. Everything we've ever built was paid for in cash. This is the most frugal church of saving that you can ever be in. But yet we've helped people. All the homes in Mexico, all the things that we've done. Now it's time to rise to the occasion again. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Again, it's not about tithing. God bless you, brother. It's not about tithing. I'm not asking people to come down like that, but thank you, Richard. Let's thank Richard, shall we? This is an offering to the Lord to give to and help this outreach to give to the people. Now listen. Now you see why I say it is larger than Calvary Chapel. That leads me to the very next thing that I need to talk to you about. In front, there in this box, they just printed these up. These are flyers. It says, Helping Single Moms for Christmas. You can help, and it gives you information. It tells you how your donation, you go about the gift cards, or you can go online, or we even have a GoFundMe page right now. Can you believe that? And all these things, it just take, when you leave, take three, take a couple, and here's what I want you to do. First, when you do take it, make copies at home, okay? Yeah, that's okay. You can make some copies, and listen, it won't be long, and you'll be able to download it probably next week on the Calvary website. You can download that form, and here's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to make copies, take a few of these flyers, take them to your workplace. If they'll let you put them up in the break room, would you do that? Would you tell all of the people that you work with, would you mind helping a single mom? It's not about the church. You can send it to LNFI. There's an address on there. It's totally tax deductible. 100% goes to the moms. Do you understand? Work. Go to work and start telling people in your office and so forth. Put a flyer on your Facebook. If you have that thing, Facebook, you know what I mean? Put it on there. And then what I want you to do is contact every one of your friends and please put that on there. And tell them after you contact your friends, tell them to contact their friends. Are you with me? Get it going. You have to work now. You have to start today. Do this right this minute. It's vital. And then there's another way, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to reach out to family. I want you to, all over, wherever they are, reach out to them. What's $25? Are you with me? Come on. One little gift card? No, reach out to your friends and your relatives and so forth, and tell them to reach out to their friends and to their relatives. In Haltram Christian School, I want all the teachers that are work there, I want them involved. I want them doing something. It's like I told Paul, he works with CarMax, and Mario, he's with Kia. I said, get in there, please, take this thing, put this flyer, get everybody involved. The three amigos, Randall and Dan and whoever the other guy is, Raul. The youth pastors, junior high, senior high, I want you to work. You've been given everything. We just built you a $500,000 youth building. It's better than this sanctuary. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. We've got to do this. Go to work. Wash a car. Do something. I want every one of them. Raul. You guys, where are you at? I want the plan. I want to hear a plan, how they're going to raise money to help this outreach in Jesus' name. We have to go to work. Listen, there's no time to spare. You know, online, you people that listen online, I love you. I thank God for your emails and for your letters. I mean, we have people just in the first service, all from California down to Baja, Mexico, all the way to New Hampshire, New York, Kentucky, Iowa, Kansas, all over this country. You're listening now all over the world. I need your money. No, I need it. I need you to help us. I need you to send $25. I need you to help us. Everybody has to join in on this. Listen. In 2004, when my office was in the upper room, which is up there where the media people are now, it was a September, and the Lord spoke this into my heart. I'll never forget it. And I had my evening Wednesday sermon prepared, and the Lord spoke into the Holy Spirit, and I was just led to go through every word on poor or poverty in the Bible. But when I got to Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity, not feeling sorry, that word means you see them on the road, and they're bloody, and you do something about it. He who has pity upon the poor lendeth to God, and he will pay back what has been given. Proverbs 19:17, built Love Never Fails International, the charity, totally stands apart from the church, totally self-support. People from everywhere. Loved one, listen to me. God cannot lie. What did God tell us? He said last year, remember the word, prove me now, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. You know, Malachi 3:10. And remember what I told you about? It's not about so much the tithes and offerings. Yes, that's included. But the theme of Malachi 3:10 is the faithfulness of God. God says, prove me. You can trust me. Am I not trustworthy? Prove me now, saith the Lord. Why don't you do that this year? Why don't you do that for the next 60 some odd days? Listen, a Christmas loan to Almighty God means you cannot lose, because he said he would pay back what has been given. It says in Proverbs 28:17, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Our only goal, your only goal. Yes, we're going to provide on the campus, set everything up. It's going to be a great Christmas on the night of Thanksgiving unto the Lord. And we're still on time, don't worry. And the night of Thanksgiving unto the Lord, that, you know, that's our 28th annual night that we celebrate this every year, the night before Thanksgiving. Someone's going to walk outside and throw a breaker. And when they do, this entire campus is going to be lit up for Christmas. For candy cane Christmas. And then I'm going to be contacting the residents this month, meeting with them to see if they will join in the candy cane Christmas. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be, we're walking on water. We're getting out of the boat, and we're obeying our Lord. Amen? We don't have to look at the storms. We don't have to look at the waves. Our only goal is for Jesus to be glorified here and to share Jesus Christ with them. There's going to be three major tents set up on the campus. And inside those, and on the front of the tent, it's going to say free. That's the last place the people that come will go. But they have to go there. They can't get out unless they go there. And there will be the Bibles. And those tents are going to be filled with passionate, on fire, soul-winning people that just want to say, oh, God loves you. Jesus died for you. We're not asking you to come to this church. We don't want a dime from you. We don't want anything, but we want one thing, your heart. Will you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we are going to do. Now listen to me. What is one soul worth to you? Just one person. I know what one person, one soul is worth to God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. If you just believe in him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. It's worth it to me. It's worth it to see the move of God, to see people saved. What if that hippie had not been on that beach that day? What if he looked at me and said, oh, I'm not going to stop and say a word. He's got a beer in his hand. He's smoking a cigarette, you know, and 6 o'clock in the morning, he's probably wasted. Anybody drink at 6 o'clock, he's got a problem, huh? But he didn't walk by me. He didn't pass on the other side. No. He said, you look like you're looking for the truth. I said, I am. Pray with me. What would happen if that had not happened? You see, we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about eternal death. We are God's ambassadors. We're his soul winners. What Jesus did in his earthly ministry on this earth, we now, he fulfills in the spiritual ministry through his body, us, the body of Christ. We need to be doing our labor for the Lord. Listen to me. When you study out, I know it's time to go, but listen, when you study out the whirlwind of God like we did, remember, and it's always, the majority of time, it's in the Bible, it's associated with his divine presence. He's here. You remember what I told you in the New Year message? I told you when I was a little boy and I lived out on the farm in Keller. You know, my grandparents were farmers, and man, when they plowed up the field, remember? And I would run up there, you know, the dust, and those dust devils, remember? And they were coming down. Praise the Lord! It must be asking for money. And did you understand what I mean? And so I would run, and I would try to jump into the whirlwind. Do you know what I'm saying? I would run, man. I would chase those things all over, and I wanted to jump in so badly. I just wanted to get inside of that and jump and jump and jump. Would you jump in with me? Listen. It's time. It's our adventure now. 62 days. The whirlwind is coming. No, it's here. The harvest is right, perfectly right. Yes, Lord. Now we're going to labor. Prepare. 62 days. You must prepare. You must prepare. I'll tell you, just like I started with the service, Two arms. The British is not coming. God's whirlwind is coming. You need to get in. Listen, I'm going to contact every pastor friend in America that I know. My family, I'm putting a radio tag on every station I'm on across America. Every is going to have a tag. Matter of fact, last Sunday, one of the stations, owners that owns the radio station that I'm on down in South Texas, they were in the service, and they heard about the whirlwind thing. They sent me an email, just a couple of, Bill, what can we do? How can we support you? How can we support your church in what you're doing for single mothers? Can you believe that? I said, I'm going to email you Monday. Listen. I reach out to my own family. I'm reaching out to every person. I'm relentless. I called my sister yesterday. You know my sister? She raised me, remember? She's about 80-some-odd thousand years old. I don't know. And she's tough. You know how. Remember, give me a hard hat for Christmas, Bill. Give me a tool belt. She's tough. I mean it. I said, Joanne, I need your help. What do you need? I said, I want you to tell your son, who I'm like his brother, but I'm really his uncle, but we were raised together. I said, I want you to tell Steve and his wife, Jamie, that I want every cowboy that they know and cowgirl, I want $25 from them. What? I said, you tell him that. And you tell him that I'm going to call him on Monday. Listen, why did I say? They're pro rodeoers. She's in the Hall of Fame in Fort Worth. You know, down at the cowgirl, whatever that thing is, you know? 2 months ago, she was doing whatever she does up in Las Vegas at the El Dorado or whatever that thing is, and the rope cut her thumb off. Yeah, she went to the hospital and said, okay, we said, we can't put it back on. I said, I don't care. Can you make at least a little bit of a nub there because I can hold my rope? I'm telling you the truth. They know 10,000 cowboys, and I'm going to hammer him. I mean it. I'm going to beg. I'm going to plead. They don't have any children, okay? Oh, they dogs, that's their kids. And not only that, horses. They're horses. You know, horses, they have... are so expensive. And like I told Joanne, I said, tell Steve, I said, I know he's buried all his horses someplace out at Rome, that horse funeral home or whatever it's called, that graveyard. I said, I'll go out there and pray over him. I'm from a wild family. Are we going to do it? Are we really going to do it? Are we really going to do it? Are we going to unite as one person? Loved one, this may be the last outreach. He may take us home. He may come after us. You don't know. This is an adventure. I don't know all that he's going to do. I take it day by day. But I tell you what, I am sold out and my heart is sold out. And I'm consumed. I hate that. Be consumed with me. Let's pray. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you for inviting us into the whirlwind. Thank you for allowing us to go on this adventure with you. Oh God, I beg you in Jesus' name that this church would be so passionate every day that they would work. They would be relentless in raising the monies that are needed. I know that you'll help them, Lord, and I know that you'll bless them. I pray that the beauty of the Lord be upon us now. I pray that you will establish the work of our hands, as the psalmist has said, for your glory. We believe it. We receive it. In the greatest name in the universe, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And the church says, amen.